This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat loving friends. You know, when you really like a guest, you invite them back a few times. And we've got Steve Dale here. Steve is also a certified animal behavior specialist, but he's into so many things. I couldn't even list everything the man does. He is busy, but he's here today to talk to us about the Every Cat Health Foundation. And he has really big FIP news. And we are very excited to talk to him. So we will be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
Anyone who knows me knows I am a very strong proponent for cats being indoors. But when we bring cats indoors, where I feel it's safest, we have an obligation to make sure they have a fulfilling life, that they get enrichment. And part of that enrichment is encouraging health. And a big part of that health is cat grass. Cat grass helps with the prevention of hairballs. It can help keep your cat away from houseplants. It's also fun for your cat. It's a natural behavior that your cat wants to chew, and you know that you're providing it in a safe way.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with the ever-gorgeous, my BFF, my ride or die, Rita.
Buttering me up.
The Limers.
Favors again. Yes. I don't want to talk to you. I talk to you all the time. All day long.
I love you too. Yeah, I want to hear this FIP news because
I know
we've been following this for a while. Steve,
what's going on?
Thank you for coming back and sharing this news with us.
It is amazing news. But first of all, ladies, I know that you both knew Richard Simmons. So I want to express my condolences. I mean, I knew someone who knew him but didn't know they knew one another. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Until very recently. And she's long passed away, so I never had the opportunity to ask her about him. And while I've interviewed many celebrity types over the years, I never did have the opportunity to speak to him. But he seemed like a person out there to do good. And
100%.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was his
percent.
Whole focus in life was giving of himself. He actually, you know, he's so flamboyant, but in real life, well, he was a lot like that, but he was pretty shy normally.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard.
Unless he had his reason, you know, to be his persona, then he was on stage, right? But at home, he was pretty quiet. His house was it's a nice house, but very modest, not what you'd think. You'd think it would be real flamboyant, but it's no.
It feels like a comfy home, right? Yes.
I used to pet sit his dogs, and he would set me up in, he had like a little kitchenette off the kitchen. He'd set me up there, and he'd let me watch videos that, you know, he got beforehand because he was part of the SAG, so he got to vote on them. And it was just very, very nice relationship that we had. I also worked for him on his radio show and in his studio for about 10 years. Linda was his original success story infomercial girl. Where's your magazine?
Yeah, I have no idea where it is right now, but yes, I've had a lot of fun. You know, we got to take trips and do fun things and help people and reach people.
It's amazing.
Paramount Studios even used a clip of one of my infomercials in the movie What Women Want. If you haven't seen it or haven't seen it lately, you'll have to rewatch it because I made Mel Gibson cry. That's my claim to fame. But yeah, we had so much fun just from being in his orbit, right? Like,
well,
he was really everything.
I make both of you cry right now.
Oh, no.
So in a good way, feline infectious peritonitis or FIP. And if I could back up just a step to briefly explain what it is. It actually took researchers forever, I mean, decades to figure it out because it's so complicated. I happen to be on the board of an organization, nonprofit, was once called the Wynn Feline Foundation, but has now for several years been called the Every Cat Health Foundation, which is a better name because we do what we do for any cat, every cat, everywhere, all the time, every day. So for years, what we do is we fund cat health studies. It's all we do. And then educate on those studies we fund and educate folks about cats, from veterinary professionals to cat breeders to folks like you who are plain cat lovers and can learn more as a result of what we do. So only organization like it on the planet that happens to do what we do. For years, funded before I was on the board, decades ago, many researchers, but one in particular, Dr. Niels Petersen. And what he and others ultimately figured out, I'm fast forwarding the clock here a bit, is that feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP, is caused by the feline coronavirus, kind of. For reasons we still don't understand, in some cats, mostly kittens, it does this quirky mutation. And it transforms itself from this benign coronavirus, and incidentally in cats, the feline coronavirus is benign for the most part. They may have an upset tummy or whatever, but it goes away. However, in one out of every, we don't know how many cats, and we don't exactly know why for all cats, though we have some feeling for some cats, why it transforms into feline infectious peritonitis, a completely different issue, because now we have a terminal immune-mediated disease, acting very differently. And unlike the feline coronavirus, which is, by the time you call the veterinarian, even if you know the cat is has an upset tummy or kitten usually, and the vet calls you back, the kitten's fine, you know, very different. So what's going on? What do we do about it? Can we vaccinate for it? How do we prevent it? And for decades, researchers around the world, we have funded to figure this out. And it was in 2017, that's I think right, Dr. Niels Petersen, might have been earlier than that, came to the board of directors, which I'm on, our scientific advisory and review committee, and said, I think I've got it. I'm going to go to this human pharmaceutical company called Gilead, and they have a drug called remdesivir that I think will help kittens with FIP. He had no idea that it would not only help, but cure.
Wow.
Cure.
Wow.
But that's the one that's been so hard. And if I can interrupt you, let me know if I am correct here. My understanding so far, and we've had a few people into FIP on the podcast, is that it is deadly. Hang it up. And up until now, because there was no regulated, agreed upon, this is a cat thing, here's the medicine, a lot of vets were just like, sorry about your luck, and your cat's going to pass. Then they started this black market, which I assume was
You're ahead of me here.
Okay, I'll stop there.
So what happened was this new drug to the world of cats called remdesivir, which was only available because it was tried for humans, an antiviral, tried for humans for Ebola virus, and it didn't work very well. So as a result, the pharmaceutical company Gilead had a ton of it on their shelves. And they said, go ahead, try it for cats. And Dr. Petersen did. He had huge success, wanted more, and wanted the pharma company to do more, and they declined. So he went to some other researchers who we also funded and said, because now you've got the recipe. So let's create a compound just like that. They did. It's a bunch of letters and numbers after it. I'm not going to go through all that. So in 2019, the Every Cat Health Foundation hosted a symposium at the University of California, Davis. It was Dr. Petersen's sort of last stand before his retirement. And at this event, which everyone who had ever studied FIP that we have funded, still alive, they weren't alive, we didn't invite them. But the others
were
from around the world invited.
Have a seance and invite them, right?
Yeah, there you go.
We could. And they came up with a consensus. And here's the part, one of the parts where crying is allowed. I had the honor of announcing that these experts have come together and agreed that FIP is now considered treatable and no longer considered fatal.
That's amazing.
And when I made that announcement, I looked up and a room filled with hardened veterinarians who have seen it all, FIP cats and more, were just tearful. A good friend of mine, sitting right there, Dr. Elizabeth Collarin, who's since passed away. And I remember because she had committed so much of herself to all of this. And she was a presenter at this meeting, which, by the way, was broadcast around the world. I said 2019. So this was pre-pandemic and pre-Zoom. So these kind of communications were not common. But we had thousands of people watching from all over the world. Well, we made this announcement, but to your point, the drug was not available in the United States. So China came in and said, "Woo, we know the recipe too," and created lookalike drugs that, in fact, we were skeptical. I say we, it's really the experts, which I'm not, but I'm not a chemist, but the experts were skeptical about it being workable, no control over Chinese products. How do veterinarians even talk about it? Because there's issues with their license because it's from the black market. Well, we answered all those questions. It turned out that the drugs worked for the most part. And there were issues. Sometimes they were held up at customs and sometimes they weren't mailed and sometimes. But overall, so many lives were saved. Ideal? No.
Well, no, because they were trying to get it behind their backs, right? I know they had like, my cat's got FIP, so I reach out to the organization. I'm not going to be able to order it from China in time. So somebody else gives me their drugs, and then when my drugs come, I give it to somebody else. It was a whole thing, and it was beautiful to see, but in what world do we have to go through all this to get drugs that can save lives?
Totally right. I mean, it didn't typically work that way, but it often did, and Peter did a lot more than that and continues to raise money for FIP studies, which we continue to need. But people, you're right, would meet each other. I didn't get my delivery for whatever reason. It's not going to come to me. My cat needs it. You would do the same thing. I'm sure I would.
In a heartbeat. You're telling me your cat's not going to live until this delivery from China. I could throw everything I got at you.
You bet. And, you know, so I'd have to go to a Walmart parking lot and meet someone at midnight and exchange drugs and hope the police don't see. It's really silly that it had to be that way, right? Yeah, it still can be. You know, so the good news that recently happened is that a company that has been providing compounded product in various countries around the world, including Australia, Belgium, the UK, and others, said, okay, we will now do this in the United States. So the company is Stokes Pharmacy, taking this recipe from Bova Drugs, it's called. The bottom line now, it's a U.S. manufacturer. Now, it's a compounded product. It's not a pharmaceutical that is officially okayed by the Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine, which is what we need. And we have one waiting in the wings still.
So the vets can't prescribe it yet?
They can, actually.
Oh, good.
They can. So they can prescribe it. They can, if there's a question or a concern, so the veterinarians, the way it should be, of course, the veterinarian in this one, not the Chinese thing,
yeah,
but in this one, they can directly be involved.
Nice.
Now, there are some wonderful people on Facebook groups, etc., and veterinarians included, including superstars in veterinary medicine now, that are on these Facebook pages that help with the Chinese product questions. Having said that, having your veterinarian, your own provider, directly say, potentially have it in clinic right there. And here, you don't have to wait at all. And that's important because the wait time is an issue. Having said that, this is a chewable product. It's compounded. Being compounded and tasting like tuna can be great, but these cats often are so sick, it doesn't matter
that they don't want to eat, right?
Right. So how do you get this into the cat? Also, there's some conjecture without demonstrative evidence at all for the sickest kitties that the injectable works better, more quickly. Again, so far, we need evidence on this, but without evidence. In any which case, this is yet another positive step that I hope you also cry, because I said I'd make you cry, because this is amazing. You know, at least we're moving in the right direction.
Is this a single injectable or is it a series of shots?
It's a series. I mean,
can you do it at home? Like, I know how to give shots.
Can you? So when they get these things from China And that's the thing. The injectable itself is like this big. It's a horse thing, you know?
Wow.
And the cats don't like it.
Of course.
You know, and they're not right. feeling well. What cat likes getting an injection under the best of circumstances anyway? So it's a difficult thing for a lot of pet parents to do. Having said that, the pilling part of it isn't necessarily easier, depending on the individual cat. However, now we have an option that is viable, an option that at least for many cats will and has worked. And that is the good news. The other thing is that pet insurance won't cover anything from China, but will cover, depending on the company.
How come we have not hearing more of this?
Steve.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Exactly.
I know we got to take a break.
Yeah, we got about 2 minutes to break, but we can break a little early.
All right, let's break because my, yes.
I know.
Okay, I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
And it won't even take the 2 minutes. It'll be your tease. When we come back from break, I want to talk about how the story that I've told, there's a secret word, and it has saved countless human lives. So cats have saved countless human lives around the world.
Wow.
And I'll tell you that story when we come back.
Awesome. Hurry.
So let's take a little break and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. Gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at cfacatexpo.com. That's cfacatexpo.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, so we are back with Steve Dale. We're talking about amazing advancements in the world of FIP, and there's actually a cure now, and I want to hear more about it. And I know Linda's been sitting on her hands. It's hard for Linda to be quiet, but she has
It's terrible.
So you left us with a teaser, Steve.
Yes. Well, I wanted to say real quick, you know, many, many years ago, I took a cat, a big old tuxy boy we had found outside. My daughter named him Boo Boo because somebody shot him in the butt with a BB. And he went in to get his neuter. And they told me, this is a long, long time ago, probably 30 years ago. They told me he was FIV positive and that I needed to euthanize. And I got there and they gave me my cat in a trash bag. And I still remember standing at my van, ripping the bag, going, my cat's not trash. Every time somebody tells me they took their cat in and they said it's FIP, there's nothing we can do. We're killing your cat.
She remembers Boo Boo.
I see that trash bag. And what you're saying is going to stop so many people from having to experience that. I mean, look how far I've got an FIP boy behind me. You know, that is not the big scary monster it used to be. And now what you and this organization are doing is changing that. So
for FIP,
many more people are not going to have to go through what we went through at that time.
that's just everything.
Does this work for both kinds, the wet and dry FIP?
It does.
Yeah, yeah. And also the neurologic form, which is the most challenging. And it is thought by some, again, without demonstrable evidence, we don't know, that for those kitties, the injections at first, at least, are probably a good idea. But I say that, and it's all anecdotal. We just don't know.
It makes sense. I mean, if you've got a bad infection, you know, they can give you pills, but if it's really bad, they're going to give you a shot to get it started, right?
Yeah, it has to faster. Do with things that are more technical than that. But yeah, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I, when I think about it, the essence of what you say,
it gets there faster.
It's actually true. And, you know, I was on the board of a shelter in Chicago, and this goes back years, where the good news is we would take the FIV, feline immunodeficiency virus. I'm not talking FIP at the moment.
Right.
We would take those cats. We were one of the first shelters to do it and criticized for doing it. And today, both those cats and FELV, feline leukemia cats, we know. You know, I would argue that your cat behind you, that orange guy, will actually live or have as much of a chance of living a longer life than, well, my cat's not in the room now, but than our cat, who doesn't have FELV or FIV in particular.
Why do you say that?
Yeah, so the reason for that is because every time your cat goes, you're running to the vet.
That's true story. That's a true story. Mm-hmm.
And that's the right thing to do with cats that have FIV. But because you're on top of it and paying attention to every little thing, I mean, you guys are experts, so you in particular would know. But in general, people who have FIV cats are going to pay such careful attention, visit the veterinarian, I hope twice, not once a year.
Yes.
That actually the health of those cats proactively will be better taken care of. That's anecdotal as well, but that is my feeling about that. I'm sticking to it.
Yes. That is kind of a joke around here. If one of the other, there's 12 total. If any 11 cats need
I have 19 if you think 12 bad.
Yeah, yeah, she beats me.
Don't so try this at those, home, folks.
Any of those 11 sneeze, I'm yelling out to my family members, you guys, keep an eye on so-and-so. He sneezed. I just want to make sure this doesn't become something. His vet sneezes.
She's to the
calling
vet.
Calling the vet right now. Yeah, exactly. I am on the phone. He does exactly. not do not pass go.
So I have an FIV cat too, but he's so feral. I don't see a lot of him, so I can't take as great of care of him as I want to.
Yeah,
he should have been re-released outside because of the FIV. He can't.
Yeah, he was
but back
to
fit
the TNR. So, and I want to hear, okay, the secret word. What was this teaser you left us with? So
FIP, FIP, or feline infectious peritonitis. I told you that part of the story, but there's another part of the story as well. So in 2023, if I think I've got the year right, COVID hit. And we didn't have...
2020,
Linda lost her son-in-law.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, COVID ravaged my home.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I had the year very wrong. You're right.
Yeah, 2020. COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I only know because, Sebastian passed on August 20th, 2020, and it's, you know...
Yeah, and it was actually hit China toward the end of 2019. So at that point in time, researchers began to look for options all across the world, not only in America, but in America as well. Antiviral options, so the antibiotic options apparently like that, antiviral options like that. And somebody somewhere, and I know the story isn't a story, it's true, but it still can be a story if it's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's the true Hollywood story.
Yes, that's it.
So you're about to hear an e-true Hollywood story, which is this. Researchers, well, they knew human beings are not cats. Sometimes we hope, but we're not.
Yes.
They looked at the drug that was being written about in scientific journals, peer review, that was curing cats of FIP. And originally that drug, remdesivir. Remdesivir then was tried out in clinical trials very quickly to see if it would help people, to see if it would cause major side effects, et cetera, et cetera. Turns out that it did help people. I'm talking about people with COVID-19, with a human, the SARS-induced coronavirus. SARS, sudden acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus that affected your family. And it was affecting millions of families around the globe.
Oh, yes.
Well, it turns out this drug, well, not the perfect solution for COVID-19, was a part of the answer and contributed to saving thousands of lives, countless thousands around the world. That would not have happened if it wasn't for Dr. Peterson looking at that drug, if it wasn't for us saying, Dr. Peterson, you can have the money to do it, and if it wasn't for kittens getting FIP in the first place. You know, we hear about One Health stories, and they're out there. There are many of them. Most include dogs. But here's a cat story about cats saving so many lives. Remdesivir is available to treat FIP in America. It can be used by veterinarians. The problems are availability of it, administration of it, and also the cost is pretty prohibitive for many. So it's a far easier way to go as to what I described. The goal might be to create a vaccine. And if we can prevent the coronavirus from happening in kittens, maybe we can in people too.
That would be wonderful. That would be, but that's why, though, that the remdesivir became so hard to get is because it was effective in helping people with the virus.
Yes.
Well, as it turned out, Gilead, they didn't know, maybe they did somehow, I don't think they did, knew that it was going to be a pandemic. However, they did know, apparently, or felt we've got something here we want to hold on to. Their thinking behind that, I can't even guess. Turned out to be a good thing for the world in some ways, but they did hold on to that drug. But I argue, I wish they had made it available to cats. Well, no matter, now it is. The thing is, I mean, there are lots of products used, quote, off-label in veterinary medicine every single day. It's perfectly legal. However, let me see if I can give you an example. Metronidazole for dogs with runny stools or cats. Flagyl, same drug.
Flagyl, yeah.
I believe that's off-label. I mean, there's so many of them that are really human products that are, we know, are safe for pets. Been studied, and veterinarians do it that way. And that's been the way for decades and decades. There's no issue with that. But the issue with remdesivir, as I say, is first cost, secondly, availability. And the third is, I believe the way it has to be administered is in hospital. And that makes it even more costly and difficult for many cats to do that are fragile anyway. In other countries, it is being used a little more readily than in America. No matter, now we have two good options. And if we keep looking for more, we will find more. And some of those may be antivirals that end up helping people too.
Yes. So do all the veterinarians know this? I mean, if you take a cat in and your cat is diagnosed with FIP, will your vet automatically know these drugs are available? Or is it our responsibility to say, look, I know these drugs are available and I want them?
I think that most, I don't know the answer really. I would hope that most feline practitioners know. I don't know that all general practitioners do. This will be a hot topic at veterinary conferences for the remainder of the year and mostly into next year.
I was hoping that you would say that.
I remember when I first found out that veterinarians legally, technically couldn't say, yes, there's a treatment for this, blah, blah, blah. And I just remember thinking, if I was a vet, how horrible to know I can save this cat's life, but yet my hands are tied by legality.
They did say you can get this drug on the black market.
Yeah, I think some people were like, check out this place. Yeah.
So at first, they were really terrified. First, nobody knew it. That was the issue, getting word out there that this was even possible. Once that happened, there were concerns about the black market, which I understand. And people like Elizabeth Collarin, Dr. Collarin, pounded the pavement at veterinary conferences and said to her colleagues, you can do this. And here's how legally you can do this. And you can say, go to FIP Warriors. They're just telling you to go to a website and learn more about what is happening now. You don't even have to mention the drug if you don't want. And I will supply additional support. So if the cat needs fluids, if the cat needs monitoring blood work along the way, which they do, all of those things they were able to do sort of quietly, but legally. I mean, providing that supportive care is not illegal. That's the right thing to do. There's no ethical issue with that.
Well, hopefully this will make the need for FIP warriors moot, right? Because you can now get this drug that's covered by your insurance. I'd much rather do that.
Yeah. Again, if indeed the injectable for some cats is needed first, there is no injectable today in America. There is a pharma company working with the FDA. I had hoped personally that the drug would have been out by last year approved. We know it works. So far, not this year, and probably not. I would suggest it'll happen next year, though. And once that happens, we might not even need the compounded option anymore. And that will be FDA fully approved. There'll be no questions about it. So then we'll have yet an additional and maybe the best option of all.
So many lives are changing. And if I got you correctly, you know, my son got, I started to say FIP, he did not. He got the COVID.
Before we even knew what it was.
I'm thinking about his second round. Yes. So my son-in-law is gone. I was hospitalized in ICU with COVID.
We almost lost Linda. She's modest about that. It was a scary moment.
I'm immune compromised because I have MS. So anyway, we're all through it. It's before Christmas. My son's not feeling well. I'm super like, before we go over to grandma and grandpa's, we're going to get you tested. Yeah, he had COVID. They gave him remdesivir, and it did help. And I'm wow. If I'm understanding you correctly, the absolute nightmare we went through with Sebastian versus what my son went through because he got the remdesivir has been brought to you by cats and cat lovers. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So what you need to do is write us at Every Cat Health Foundation, please, $1 million check.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll get right on that.
We were happy to do this. You know,
do that, Linda. Do that.
I'm really. What would really be nice? I should be telling you offline, but I'll tell you online since I started anyway. Would be a little video from you to tell that story that we could post on our website.
Gladly,
because we're really part of that story at Every Cat Health Foundation.
Yes. Now, yes.
We didn't create the drug, but no one would have thought about that drug for cats if it wasn't for Dr. Peterson.
Exactly.
It wasn't us. It was Dr. Peterson. But we're the one who said, okay, you could have the money to do the clinical trials. He himself was surprised when not only did it work to help, it worked to cure. He thought they'd get a little better and they could live longer or whatever. And the side effects are there potentially, but they're minimal. Minimal.
What are
they? Minimal side effects are better than death.
Yes, I agree. What are the side effects? Do you know offhand?
Just kind of not feeling well on and off and, you know, that kind of, they're really minimal.
The COVID vaccine made me feel like I was out
of my head.
But it was worth it.
Awful. I would rather have the little side effects.
Exactly.
Than have COVID be again. Sick I had for it a day. Too in November. It was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. She had a pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah. The good news is for a lot of people, but not everyone. That's the thing. The symptoms of COVID are minimized today. It's like a bad, really bad cold, but that's not for everybody. And the other thing is after you get a cold, it's over. For some people, they still get long COVID. So it's still nothing to play around with.
I still have taste issues with tasting certain things. Citrus tastes like pickles. There's certain things that just don't taste right.
I was actually in the vaccine trial for COVID.
Oh, wow.
And I had a side effect which shocked the doctors that I can tell you about. So I was actually thrilled to be in the trial. And when I entered the trial, they ask you after every time you get a jab in the arm, all sorts of questions, and you come in for a cursory physical exam as well. They take your blood pressure and your heart rate and your pulse and whatever. And they want to know if you've gotten COVID, obviously, does the vaccine work? And, you know, and whatever else they asked you or tested you for. But one question was about side effects. And I told them, I'm hungrier for ice cream.
Wow, that's bizarre. I wonder why.
So, and a particular kind of ice cream. So I would tell them that every time I came in. Finally, I got a call from Dr. Richard Novak, who ran the study, the guy who runs the study. And he said, and because I'm on the radio in Chicago and he's based in Chicago, he knew of me, I believe. But he said, can you explain this to me? I said, and this was during COVID. You couldn't go anywhere, right?
Right.
But this one little store was open that sold ice cream. And I would go there and I would get banana graham cracker ice cream.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yes. And I became addicted. Eventually had to go to the Betty Ford Center, which is a
right.
Whole
had to dry you out. The withdrawals were horrible.
But I would go there because I didn't know when I enlisted for the study they'd pay me. Now, you know, you're not going to make a living off what they pay you.
No.
You know, so I decided to spend the payment on ice cream. It about evened out.
I would go
after every time. I'd get the ice cream. So I told them how good it was. And apparently what I didn't know, and the reason for Dr. Novak calling me, is they have to put down into writing no matter what you say. So in the medical records at the American Medical Association, if you look under the vaccine trial and all of the side effects, you will see
craving
banana graham cracker ice cream.
Oh my gosh. That's now awesome. I want that ice cream.
I do too. I know.
So
I do
Dr.
Too.
Novak.
You still eat that? Oh, go ahead. What about Dr. Novak?
So Dr. Novak actually went in and tried the ice cream for himself a couple of weeks later and identified himself when he came in. So they told me that some doctor came in and said, you said the ice cream was really good.
Somebody else is like, oh, get me some of this. I loved it.
No, now we have to make a trip to Chicago.
Right?
I love Chicago.
Way.
I haven't been there.
Windy City Sweets. And they have good ice cream and candy everywhere.
Yum.
They even have a bar for licorice.
I love
licorice. Okay, we're going.
Right? Exactly. We're on our way.
Put that on the list. There's so many places we want to go.
Yes. We are so grateful for you right now. This is just the best news. I'm going to be doing this grinning thing all day. My teeth are going to start to hurt. Because all of the cat lives that are being saved, all of the humans that love their cats and are going to live with us forever, all of the vets whose hands are tied, all of the people that have worked so tirelessly. I just thank
all
you.
The
does not
FIP
cover
warriors
it.
Must yes. be so
well, FIP warriors, they're heroes in all this story. Yeah, yes. I do want to say that it isn't only FIP. Between your 78 cats, the both of you have, or
there's
whatever.
There's 31. I'm trying to fight like having
yeah,
another one.
Whatever
like
that number is, pretty much everything medically we know. So an example would be FIV or FELV, feline immunodeficiency virus. No one knew this before I was on the board decades and decades ago. No one knew exactly what it was or how it worked, how it was transmitted. And it's our funding through the organization for which is Every Cat Health Foundation that we figured that out. FELV, similar story. No one knew it was a retrovirus. It took several years. It was figured out through our funding. And because of that, Morris Animal Foundation later came up with a vaccine for it. You know, so they're part of the story too. But the collaboration was incredible. You know, so there isn't anything that any cat, including all of your 143 cats, there isn't
the number
anything.
Keeps getting bigger. I'm scared of jinxing us.
We need to build the sanctuary before we can have 143 cats, okay? Any benefactors out there,
right?
We're looking for land
before
in a building.
Before
okay?
we get to our 143, we need help.
So for all of your 197 cats, no matter what it is, medically or behaviorally, we likely at this organization have funded that. And to learn more, everycat.org. And you could sign up for a newsletter, which is absolutely free. And by the way,
I think I
to learn about cat health or dog health, my website is stevedale.tv. And I also have a newsletter that folks can sign up for.
Yeah, I got
yeah,
that too.
Awesome.
We don't hate dogs. We love dogs. I grew up with a dog. Linda's about to add a dog to the 12 cat household.
Well,
my husband needs a dog.
She had a chihuahua. Does that count as a dog? I don't know. It's kind of
according to my husband, it does not. And yes, he's decided he needs a dog, and I'm a little scared. But it's got to be a very special dog. This might take a minute. Okay, we love all animals. But I will tell you, and I wanted to point this out because I saw this on Every Cat Health Foundation's website. The only nonprofit foundation focused solely on feline health. Focusing solely on something does not mean ignoring the rest or not caring about the rest, right? I have a GP who I love, but if I have cancer, I want an oncologist. And for too long, cats have been the redheaded stepchilds of the species.
Sure. Hey, you took my shame.
So much on dog. Maybe we'll add cat and go dog and cat. But I have to say, personal personally. I really appreciate Every Cat Health Foundation for putting this in for our cats and focusing on helping our cats.
Hey, you know what we should do? For every time you guys hear us say purr, take a shot.
There you go. Donate a dollar to FIP research. Every time we say purr, you donate a dollar to FIP.
I like that better.
Or to FIP.
FIP.
Now I got FIV in the head.
We would love to have you back because I would love to dive more into the feline leukemia because that's still one of those diseases that people think you have to put your cat down. And maybe that's not true anymore. I don't know.
Do you know, it's another one of my teases, do you know there's a cat food that's for people?
A cat food that's for people? Tell me about that.
To help
people. This is like going to be a little extra on the video, I think.
Right? Yeah, this is the after party.
We could save it for next time.
Okay. You must schedule another.
Yes.
Just send me a link. I'm more than
happy. Yeah,
thank you. Yes.
Write that down so we remember what we want to talk about.
I just did. And cat food for people. I'm not letting this go.
Steve, no, I am so grateful for everything you do for all kinds of pets. Bet, especially for our feline friends. Is there any last words of wisdom you would like to leave our audience with?
Oh, no, it's just a pleasure to be with you guys again. It's been a long time. And also, check out my website, sign up for my newsletter, check out everycat.org and sign up for that newsletter. Both newsletters are, and this is my favorite word, my final word for today, free.
We love free. We recommend free things to our clients all the time. We're like, it's free.
It's free.
Linda, my ride or die, my BFF, I wouldn't know if it wasn't for Richard Simmons. Those of you know, we're mourning the loss of our special friend and my personal mentor, Richard Simmons. I'm going to cry now. Oh, I just want to thank him for everything he gave us. We wouldn't be here on the air. We wouldn't have Cat Behavior Alliance. And we wouldn't be friends if it wasn't for Richard. So we thank Richard.
And of course,
Mark, thank you so much for giving us the spot on Pet Life Radio. For that, we are forever grateful. And don't forget, every single day is what, Linda?
Catterday!
We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.